Warning: the following podcast, which contains strong language and mature content, is unsuitable for children or for the faint of heart. The subject matter discussed will be frightening and graphic in nature. Listener discretion is advised.
When you want to hear about the paranormal, you get the Spooked Girls. True crime that makes you hypothermal with the three Spooked Girls. Stabby snippets will give you dreams. Tara and Jessica will make you ask great, along with the Spooked Girls. Bring on the slaughter. We on that haunted ground. The three Spooked Girls.
Hey there, Spooksters, and welcome back to another episode here on Three Spooked Girls. My name is Jessica, and as always, I'm joined by my favorite gal pal, Tara.
Hey, Spooksters.
Today, we're doing another installment of Vital Conversations. Fire. And we are joined by Tammy, who is going to give us a brief introduction of your background and all the cool, spooky things you do.
Yes. Hi, I'm Tammy Merhab Chavez. I am one of the hosts and producers of the podcast, Holly Weird Paranormal Podcast, and also Haunted LA Girl on TikTok. I am also a paranormal researcher, investigator, and all around spooky amiga. So I've definitely have investigated all over the U.S., and I'm based out of Los Angeles, where I primarily focus on a lot of the L.A. haunts. And yeah, that's pretty much my background. I'm also a costume designer by day and a paranormal researcher and investigator at night.
I love that. So what exactly kind of got you over into the paranormal and stuff? Because it seems like everybody has a specific story on why we love this stuff.
Oh, I'm originally from a haunted city. So I'm originally from New Orleans. I was born and raised, lived there until I was old. Ever since I was young, I always knew that that city had some unique undertones, like in the spookiness. I always knew that the city was very heavy and had a lot of ghost stories, even growing up and being raised there. I loved listening to the Louisiana legends of the Rougarou and the certain ghosts that haunts certain homes of St. Charles. And when I started working in theater, primarily in New Orleans theater, I saw my first theater ghost, and that's what really catapulted me into the paranormal. And for a bit, I was kind of closeted. And when I moved to LA, I was like, nah, I need to show my colors. I need to come out and just, you know, be the person that I've always been in secret. Because it's, you know, it's always been a bit taboo, and now we have these introductions of these shows that made it so much normal just to come out and say, I'm a real spooky chick, and I love to, you know, partake in the paranormal and learn more about it.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love that about our generation. It's like how we wanted to be as kids, I feel, is like how we get to be as an adult, and we have adult money, so we get to go do and buy all the cool things. Like literally before recording, I was on Instagram and I was scrolling and I saw the Halloween bucket lounge fly purse that's coming out next month.
Oh my god, yes.
They are so cute. And I'm like, I have my email notification on. I'm gonna get that shit because it's so freaking cute.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. There was another company that had them out a while ago too. They had the ghost, the witch, and the pumpkin. And they even made the little chicken McNugget coin purses. I can't remember the name. Gosh. They came up with them a few years back, and I was on a wait list for a year to get one. I got the pumpkin. I want the backpack. They have like the Dracula McNugget backpack, and I'm like, tell me how much you want, and I'll make it happen.
Yes. Oh my god, that's so cute. Yeah. I love that stuff so much. Oh my god.
I think with our generation like giving up on the fact that like we're gonna like own homes and be like, you know, like our parents' generation level of success, like we're like, okay, now my level of success is that I can buy this backpack that I want and not blink. Yeah, that's kind of like, I think where the, I don't know, I love that about it.
About the millennial generation. We can have the McDonald's, you know, Halloween McMuffin and leather BU purses, you know?
So, right.
Yes.
I want to be seeing them and have my legacy like being brought out through them. So there you have it.
I love that. Oh my God. Sorry. I'm just like, I'm so like already in that like mind space. I'm ready for that. And I was funny because I was thinking, it made me think of last year when they did the little buckets, you know, and I like my 11-year-old, she didn't even know anything about it. I'm like, we're going to McDonald's right now. We're getting this shit. They have it. We're going. And she's just like, okay, mom, I get free Happy Meal, whatever. But like, we need these buckets. So right. We got like three of them.
I never understand the pure joy that we felt when those things came out, you know?
Yes.
Came out and I was so excited for them. And that was always like a tradition for me and my sisters. Like we always begged our parents, like, we got to go to McDonald's and get the big boo buckets. Like that was a must. And now they're coming back. It's a must end. So, yep.
Totally. I do feel like kids last year didn't really get them. I feel like it was like our generation was like,
we bought them all.
We just bought Happy Meals.
I know, they're like a bucket. And I mean, people are going crazy for this. I'm like, yes, we are. Because you don't understand the sheer joy, the commercials. There's so much that is involved in this. You have no understanding of this whatsoever. They're like, okay. Yeah.
It was like an instant nostalgia bring, like flashback. And like, it's because like, I think like as kids, those are things like I wanted to keep my bucket. My parents were like, well, the Halloween candy is done. So I guess the bucket goes in the trash too, because I don't want it cluttering my house, you know? And so as an adult, I'm like, I can put that on a shelf and call it a decoration. Like, we're just going to call it that.
Literally one of ours is on our little shelf that's connected to our coffee table right now. It's just been there this whole time. The little ghosty just vibing. We keep our spooky stuff all year round out. It's fine. As you can see.
No. Then I keep it in my office. It's fine.
So. I love it. Okay, because I'm so excited to ask this. We're just going to jump to it. Please tell us everything, all the stuff about Ghost Adventures and how that was and that whole experience. I was so excited for you when I saw you post about it. Oh, my gosh.
I got cheesement, of course. I mean, the number one question everybody wants me to tackle is how is Zach Baggins, how is he like in person? Mm-hmm. Very intense. To be honest with you, when I first arrived, to go a little bit back with the podcast, I cover a lot of haunts in and around Los Angeles, but Bryce, co-host, and myself were like, well, let's go beyond the typical Marilyn Monroe, Black Dahlia ghost. Let's go into like the beaten path and talk about these places that no one really talks about. So it took off and, you know, I had historians that were like, hit me up, like, tell me more about this place. I'm trying to write a new book about haunts. And I keep on hearing the Queen Mary and all these other ghost stories that are so repetitive. And soon, I want to say like last year, our listeners kept on emailing us. They were like, hey, we're noticing that Ghost Adventures is kind of copying off of you. Like every time you release an episode on a location, 2 months later, they cover it. And it's pretty aligned in your order. And I hadn't seen episodes. I haven't seen a good episode since season 6 or 7. So there we are. But I went on there on Discovery Plus. I'm like, oh my God, it's almost in the order of our last season's episodes. They covered these places. And then a month later, I got an email from one of their producers and he wanted to jump on the phone for a meeting. And I was like, okay, let's do it. And it turns out they were listening to the podcast. Awesome. They were taking notes.
Love that.
Yeah. So they were like, you are doing a good job. We love these places. Let's give you credit. I said, okay, yeah. Let's talk business right now. So they were very nice. The producers are very nice. One of them is Jeff Belanger, who is a phenomenal historian and researcher based out of the East Coast. He's been working with them for 8 years. He's the professional in the field and he's such a great job coordinating their stories. So I hopped on the phone with him to give him more details about locations. So they wanted to bring me on 2 locations. So they had me go and do an episode at Heritage Square, which is located, I want to say, close to Pasadena. It's a village of these old Queen Anne Victorians that were saved in and around the city of Los Angeles. And I worked on a film set that we were based at that village for 2 weeks. And we had a lot of weird things happen to us. Like a lot of crazy things happened to the cast and myself in one of the houses. So they brought me on board to share my story. We shot with them. Zach Baggins. Okay. When I get there, he is already in show mode. Tunnel vision. Like nothing else matters. All right. When they told me to get there on set, they're like, oh, you're going to have. There's going to be crafty. We're going to have craft services. We're going to have this. You're going to have a place to stay, to sit. It'll be a while before you get interviewed. Bring some wardrobe. Here's the outline of what we want you to bring. You know, no all black, nothing with logos. I understand. I know the assignment styled, you know, people for television film. I get it. Mm-hmm. So I get there. Crafties in a plastic bin. So it was just crackers, bananas, and bottled water in this plastic bin. I was like, okay, nothing fancy. And it's myself and 5 other people, and we can't say or do anything. We have to be quiet because Zach and the team are in show mode. So he is very serious with his craft. He's very stern with his crew. And I was like, I don't know if I should introduce myself to him at one point. It's one of those things where you have to wait for him to kind of introduce himself to you. but the other ones, like, I want to say Jay Walsley and Aaron Goodwin were phenomenal. They came by to talk to us. And they're kind of like, they were like the teddy bears. So they were the ones that pretty much closed shop for Ghost Adventures. So they were there since 6 p.m. I got there at 6:30. People think they stay overnight. No, they leave at 11 o'clock. So they had to investigate 3 locations. Spent, I want to say, a good 30 to 40 minutes in each location. And by 11 o'clock, 11:30, Zach leaves. Mm-hmm. And then Billy leaves. And Aaron and Jay are just there to finish until 1 a.m. with the rest of us for interviews. So I was like, I kind of see what goes on. All right.
Yeah. That makes me happy, though, because we love Aaron. We're very much an Aaron stan on this podcast. So, like, that makes me happy that Aaron translates into real life.
Oh, he was very sweet. Like, they brought him by, like, to meet all of us because, you know, Zach is like, directing, producing. We get it. But he was very, very awesome. Like, I think it was Bigfoot and Flat Earth conspirators. That's what we were talking about. And we spent an hour talking about Flat Earth conspiracies and Bigfoot. And he also is an artist. Like, he paints, and his work is displayed at the Mystic Museum in Burbank. And and then that was another thing too. I was like, I noticed that you guys are doing a lot of California stuff. Like, are you guys planning on doing anything outside of California? And they're like, no, because Zach cannot travel by plane anymore. When they went to travel to Scotland, something happened in the plane with him. And I don't know what, I think turbulence, maybe some severe turbulence or something, but he refuses to put his foot in a plane. So now we have to do everything near California and Nevada. So everything has to be within driving distance. It has to be, some place where they can't get in the plane. And that's why they're trying to do everything all over Nevada, all over California, and all over New Mexico and our Arizona. So
got it.
That is the reason why they're like laying low here. Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's unfortunate, like for his life, because that sucks, because that's debilitating.
I had no idea. I was like, oh, that makes sense. But he actually at one point stopped during a break and he started chatting with us. Like, I started talking to Zach about like the location, what they do. And he was actually really nice and very receptive. He was very pleasant. But you could tell he was very busy. The second place that I had to go shoot with them, I shot another episode that they edited me out. It's because, like, I just didn't follow a storyline. They had a specific story they want to tell. And I made it clear, like, look, I'm not here to demonize any of my experiences. Like, I don't want to be demon this and demon that, because that's not what this place was about and my experiences were also about. And they were very receptive with that. So they tried to bring me on as a researcher for the Barclay Hotel. It was the first episode that aired this season. And I didn't meet with Zach, but I mainly worked closely with Jay Walsley and their director of photography. And something happened. So I could tell you guys a little ghost story. Something actually happened to me and Jay in the basement. So they were trying to find someone to come in as a researcher to talk more about the cases and the murders of the Barclay Hotel. And if you ever look into the history of the Barclay, let's just say that the Cecil Hotel doesn't even hold a candle to this place. This place has had many serial killers, many deaths. A woman was decapitated in a hotel, in this hotel. Like, I mean, it's unbelievable that no one talked about it before. There's a lot of stuff that happens in the basement from what I read and researched. And I had friends that worked in film there, and they're like, girl, that place, I never want to set foot. Some weird things happened to our cast and crew. Something happened to one of our sound guys in the basement. So they put me in the basement.
So you can go.
They errand you.
They were doing the interview. So they had me in the basement with Jay. So we were going over the questions. We were going over the script, what I needed to say. And I was in this room. I have the pictures posted on Hollywood Paranormal, but I was in this room and it's surrounded by all these vintage dressers that dated back to the 1900s when the hotel opened. So there's like living artifacts there. And we were going over the case. There was this crime that happened with a serial killer that killed one of his first victims and decapitated her in the hotel. We were going over the story, and it was just me and Jay. And out of nowhere, we heard it sounded like someone running into one of the dressers. Like the dressers moved to the point where both of us stopped and we turned around and we looked, and then we looked at each other and we gave these faces like, you heard that, right? Like, you heard what happened. Yeah. And I was like, that's
oh my God.
That wasn't rap. Like that. No. It was like, it had force. Like, I don't know. What was it? But it had a lot of force. Like, you could still see the mirror vibrating after it moved. Wow. And we're like, well, is any of the people here? Is there someone here in the room that like didn't leave? And Jay was like, we're the only two down here. The rest of them went up to get more equipment. So we just carried on with the interview, but we were just like, okay, that was weird. And that was our story from the Barclay Hotel.
Dang.
Jay and all of them like have other outside projects. Jay and I were talking mainly about his outside work because he's a serious like cinematographer. So I know that the show was actually nominated for cinematography, and they actually ended up winning the award. So it was a big award. And I remember talking to them. I was like, you know, I actually love the evolution of the show in terms of your cinematography. Like, your B-rolls and everything are flawless. He's like, thank you. Like, he looked at me like you noticed that kind of thing? Like, you actually caught that? I'm like, look, I work in film. I get it. Like, this is actually, it's like art in a way. And Zach has a lot of people on his payroll, like from different studios. Like, the director of photography worked in Warner Brothers. You have sound people and other cinematographers that worked for Sony. So he has like big people working on his show and editing them and working with these like extra expensive equipment that is state of the art. I mean, if you watch the first three seasons of Ghost Adventure and then watch the last three, you'll see like the difference of cinematography.
Yeah.
So he spends a hefty penny on that, but it got them an award for best cinematography in a reality show.
I think that's great. I mean, in all honesty, like he should, like it's his like most well-known project. And I think that's probably why he has stayed. I mean, what season are they on? I can't remember. It's like 20s.
I think it's like 26 or 27.
Yeah. I mean, this is a guy that like in 2006 was like shouting at people and just like wearing those like god awful cross t-shirts. And like, and I mean, the thing is like, we love Ghost Adventures and we love Zach, but it's also like one of those things where he can kind of become like, it's kind of becomes this big celebrity personality. And
he knows it. Plays it very, very, very well.
Yeah. And it also makes me very happy that Aaron is so sweet, because like literally Tara and I used to like, during the pandemic, we hosted watch parties on Friday nights for like our listeners. Cause like we would basically go on Facebook at the time they had like shows up. And so we would find Ghost Adventures episodes and like our community would get together and watch, and like you'd have a chat and people would be commenting and things like that. So it was a lot of fun. But like our big thing is every time they would like send Aaron into a basement, we'd be like, leave Aaron alone. The guy, Tara made me a cup and it literally said, our gift to you is Aaron. Because it was Aaron, like one of the lines Zach said.
Aaron, yeah, he gets the brunt of it, unfortunately. I mean, he has to stay. I hate to say it, but he has to stay for Zach. He has to clean up and close out, unfortunately. But I mean, he's a good sport when it comes to that. But both him and Jay are really sweet. Jay doesn't get a lot of credit. He really is. He's shy. He's like cute boy shy. And Aaron's like the class clown. Mm-hmm. Zach is like the captain of the football team. Billy is his sidekick that does his homework for him, I think, in a way. I don't know. Billy was very distant. Like, Billy is like, he's an enigma, in my opinion. I've heard some things about him, like, yeah, he's a little weird, but I was like, I don't care. I mean, I was talking with Aaron and Jay, and that's all I needed. And Zach for like maybe 5 minutes, and he was really decent. Like, he was really cool and stuff. But, you know, I was really, one thing too, I will say about their production is that I was very happy to see people of color work in production on the show, because we don't see a lot of that. As a brown girl myself, like, I try to tell people, like, I give it to Zach because he put me on there. He put my friend on there, you know, this little brown girl's in front of the camera. And at the same time, like, you don't see that behind camera too. So he had a lot of diversity on his crew. So I do commend him for that.
I love that.
I do appreciate that. And I think people should know about that too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think because like people either look into Zach as a human more and see that side of him, especially in those early seasons, like how Jess was saying, he was wearing like the freaking bedazzled stuff and all of that. So people just are like, okay, we got this ghost bro. I feel like that's the best stereotype for that, which, you know, obviously he definitely fits into that, but it's nice to know like the human side of them too. You know what I mean? So, and I think a lot of people don't realize that, because a lot of people are like, oh my God, I can't watch this because, you know, X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, well, how long has it been since you watched it? Well, I watched like season two, and I'm like, no, it's like not even this, it's like different. Obviously he's still Zach, but it's like very night and day from the early aughts for sure.
He's a man now. Like he's seen things, but yeah, he's seen evolution. You see this evolution.
Yes.
It's a good evolution.
And I think that kind of does speak to his character, because like, you know that there are people who have gone, like, I'm just gonna say it, like early Zach seemed very douchey on camera. He was very like aggro and aggressive, and then he kind of like slowly turned into a human being. And from what it kind of sounds like, it sounds like when he's on set, he's like in business mode. He's like, I have a show to produce, which makes complete sense. Like, I don't want anyone to hear that and be like, oh, he didn't talk to her. No, like he's the big boss. Like, he has to like handle everything.
He's the producer. Yeah.
Right. That's like, everything falls on his shoulders at the end of the day. And so, you know, he's busy. So I do like the fact that he's still kind of like, he's kind of grown into this, like, I don't know. And I think like everyone in the paranormal world, there's always like the polarizing. People either like love him or hate him. Like the local ghost people, like adventurers that I know here in Sacramento are like, he's so snobby. And I was like, why? And they have no answer.
It's just how he is.
A show?
Yeah. Like, I work in television too, or I worked in television. And I mean, trust me, his demeanor is nothing compared to what I've seen, but his demeanor is also business. And it's like, I got to get this shit on the road. I need to be out of here by 11:30. And I don't blame them. I do not blame them. I'm sure they did the legit 24 hour stakeouts or the overnights, and it can get to you. It can definitely burn you and wear you out. And I could tell, like, he's like, yeah, he's like done with that.
Well, he's also like, older.
Yeah.
Like, just like your body, like just the wear and tear of like what a 12-hour shoot would do to you if you like got in at 6 p.m. and left at 6 a.m. Like, you're not just like waking up fresh at 6 p.m. walking onto the set. Like, he probably had hours of prep before that. And
it's a lot.
Yeah.
Being on that set both times, I was there 6.5 hours, you know, just working with them, waiting, going over lines. Okay, let's try this. It's a lot that goes into it. And I see them working. They're not sitting around on their, they're like working. Like, this isn't like, oh, well, they're just going to go to their trailers and he's going to pop on his phone and talk to his, no, he is like all of them in particular. They're very like carrying things, moving things. They're pointing at things like, where do we need to put the camera? Like they're working like straight on those, like however many hours they're working on. I think like 12 hours they work to make that episode go. And then the next day they come in to handle, I think, the reenactments for their stories. So it's like a 4-day ordeal for them to do a lot of these episodes.
That's really cool. And I love the backside of this, like getting mm-hmm. like kind of that inside, behind the curtain look. Because mm-hmm. really, like when you see it, and I think they do a really good job of making you feel like their show is effortless, that mm-hmm. it isn't like some big struggle. And like it kind of feels like they just like walked up to this place and are like, hey, but like, you know, it took so long for them to like get to that place. You know, sometimes I know that like shoots and stuff, like the permitting takes forever and just.
Oh, yeah.
So
he has a pretty hefty team. And I had the director of photography who, by the way, I don't know if you've seen the show. I think it's on Amazon Prime. It's the one about Godfather. I can't remember the name of the show. But he plays the writer of the novel of Godfather. And he is Zach's director of photography. He's also an actor too, but he does a lot of like work. So it's like, you're in the paranormal. It's like you're this at night, but you have another, you know, something else going on, which I really love. And I heard like Zach has this music. So he supposedly produces club music. And there was a rumor that his music was being played in European clubs. I don't know if that's true, but that was something that I heard. They all have.
Okay.
And, but he was telling me like, Zach is the best boss. I love being on his payroll. I was like, well, that's good to hear. I mean, it seems like everybody enjoys working. I mean, he has somebody in sound too that's worked with them for 10 years and he's pretty happy.
That show is called The Offer.
The Offer is that one. It's the gentleman that plays the author of The Godfather. I can't remember his name. To save my life. But he has like kind of salt pepper hair and these big glasses. If you find a picture of him, oh, I think it's Patrick something. I'm not sure.
I'm just gonna IMDb it.
Yeah, but he's on there, and I have pictures of him too on our Instagram that I took. He's a really nice dude,
Patrick Galley, like Gallon, but no N at the end. Gallon.
I think that's him. Yeah, he's a bit of a big guy. He's kind of husky. Has salt pepper hair. And that's him. That's a dude.
Love that one.
Oh. Really sweet. Loved him.
I've always loved the whole like ghost adventures thing. And I just, you know, I feel like as the paranormal, I really want to say that I give Zach a lot of credit for the paranormal community being like more accepted, being more mainstream, because people were like, oh, there's this guy. He's intense. Like if you watch his show, he's intense, but like he so believes it. And he just is like so charismatic that other people were like, you're starting to hear an everyday conversation. Oh my God, did you watch Ghost Adventures? It's almost like people were like, oh my God, did you watch The Office? So mm-hmm. I really liked that.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that get triggered by him. Like there's a lot of people that really dislike him. And there's other people that, I mean, to be honest with you, they started following me once they found out, like when I started promoting, I was on the show, his fanatics started following me. And mm-hmm. even Jay and I were talking about it too. By the Barclay episode, because I was like, Jay, oh my God, like I have a lot of his fans like asking me all these personal questions. One girl showed me a tattoo of him, like on her arm. Like it is crazy. One girl was like, so you know Zach, do you guys hang out? Like, what do you guys do together? I'm like, whoa, time out. Like, what the hell? I mean, like, he's like,
like, what's happening?
Do not want to know the things that they've mailed all of us. Like, it is insane.
I do want to know.
So one girl tried to mail him her underwear.
Thought I figured.
Patrick was telling me a story with Jay. And I think it was something to do with, I think it was the episode we were working on in Heritage Square or the Barclay. But one of his fans found out the location they were shooting. Found Patrick's phone number. So there was an episode where a fan like hyper visual and tone like honed in on the phone that Zach had in his hand, and it had Patrick's number on it.
Oh my gosh. So
the fan froze it, cleared it, dialed the number and called Patrick. And the guy was this young kid can I speak to, is this Zach Bagans' phone? Can I please speak with Zach Bagans? Yeah, it was, after like, no, this is not his phone. No, you cannot speak to him. Please. You know, he had to block him. It was a big ordeal. But
yeah.
He was
like, oh my gosh.
This is how hyper-visual they are on the show. They'll do anything to talk to just Zach. And I mean, I had people message me. I'm going over the messages, right? One girl was like, can you give me his address? I'm like, do you guys really, like, what is it? Like, I was just on the show.
What the fuck?
Okay. But like,
even if you had it, you're not going to give this to like, some random stranger on the internet.
Let's say you and Zach are besties. Do you think, like, oh, this girl knows Zach, so she's just going to like hand out, oh, you're not going to be friends with Zach after that. Like, he's going to be like, oh, yeah, I can't trust you with my, like, location.
I know. And then I had, this happened recently with this whole ordeal, this whole thing that blew up with the Zach Bagans Ghost Adventures and the crew from Destination Fear.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this, I'm not going to say his name. I think he was actually banned from TikTok. And I just found out like a couple months ago, he was banned from Twitter. But he was a paranormal investigator and he would do decent videos. But then like he wanted to be like the, I guess, the savior to call out like these bad guys, the paranormal. And he definitely didn't like Zach. And this whole ordeal with Destination Fear, I noticed that he was getting a lot of views and a lot of attention. And then he reached out to me. He was like, I need you to do me a favor. I'm like, what? He's like, so you know Zach Bagans? I'm like, no. But you know people that he's close to? I'm like, yes. Well, this came into my lap and it doesn't look good on his behalf. And it was supposedly this woman was framing Zach to being like a predator or something. And it turned out that she was making up she was like manipulating messages to make him look like a predator, supposedly.
Mm.
It was very obvious that it was a cut. It was like a Franken edit on her posts. Like it looked very bad. But this guy was so like, he felt like, oh, this is my time and I need you to help me because this doesn't look good. Can you possibly do me? I'm like, no, 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 no. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to do any favors. This is not my shtick. This is not my deal. This is none of my business. And it's not
right.
My business. And I know people who know him and I respect them and they respect me and that we're going to keep it like that. But I was like, keep me out of this. And just because I shot two shows with the guy doesn't mean like we're best friends. Like that's not how it works.
Well, and even then, like the fact that this guy is basically almost blackmailing you to like get to Zach.
I know. It was so
and
weird.
Whatnot. That's so crazy. I'm like at a loss for that. Tara and I were talking about this. Like, we feel like there's so many people out on TikTok now that are just like, they're calling people out as clout chasers, where they're like there's a girl that I know that I like literally like only followed her because she was like part of our, like she's part of the community, like the true crime paranormal community. And I never watched her videos, but like I started to, and I was like, oh my God, like every single video is just calling out other podcasters. And it was so bad. And so that gives me the ick. Like, so.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure Tara remembers this one, but another TikToker tried calling me out because I posted a video I was on the Ghost Adventures. And he's like, oh, well, there goes your credibility or whatever. And I was like, how is sharing my experience, my paranormal experience, like destroying my credibility for what? Just because you are triggered by this gentleman doesn't make me a target.
Right.
And we had it out, like we hashed it out online, we hashed it out through messages, but then he still tried to get me to share things about other creators, things about other people on television. I'm like, I thought we talked about this. That's not what this is about. And you you were just called out about this. You were just called out by another creator from a video about you doing stuff. Like now that already validates that I can't trust you.
Right.
I can't trust you because you're a shady mofo. I can't do it.
It's so crazy. Facts. It's just like, it's clout chasing to the extreme. It's been over a year since I posted a TikTok. So I don't, you know, I'm not really on that. But like, I would rather have a smaller account and struggle to get more people than to like post shit. And I do mean shit in the extreme, like just like talking shit about other people to get mm-hmm. more followers, because then the only reason they're following you is because they want to hear the filth coming out of your mouth. It's not even like, yeah. I'm, you know, like, you're not credible. No one likes you. If no one likes your content, I mean, they like it, but no one like is like, oh, this content is good. It gives like great information. Yeah. It's just shit talking, mm-hmm. which you it's should like- do in the privacy of your own home.
You yeah. know what's crazy? What? It makes me, those accounts like that make me think of like in the earlier days of beauty YouTube and those gossip channels, how that's how gossip channels started, was literally people just talking shit. And I'm like, oh my God, it's our turn. This is what's happening like 20 years right. later. But Jesus.
They just introduced makeup. Like, let me do my makeup and talk shit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just,
oh my God.
That's really true. Like, I'm noticing that and I just don't want anything. I'm like, I need to be taken seriously. I don't want to do any of that. I know I have people that request that I do some videos on people that I'm not doing that. I know these people. I work with them and that's not their soul and that's not who I am and I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. So
life is so hard, you know? Like
you go to
work, you like come home. It's like, I love book talk because it's just about like, you know,
reading books. go buy this shit.
My credit card really hates book talk because it's like, you did not need to buy 5 books.
Like, you did not see one.
Yes, you did.
Like the other day I was like, I forgot that I ordered books, but then like, so when they came, I was just like, there was like 5 books on my desk and my coworker was just like, I'm starting to think you have a problem. And I was like, what is that? The sad thing is these were all in one video that I like stopped, grabbed my iPad, opened on my iPad, I opened my Amazon, added all to cart so that I didn't have to get off my TikTok on my phone. And then I bought them all. And he was like, you have a problem. And I was like, I do. I'm sorry.
Hey, at least you're not smoking and smoking and doing all or drugs or anything. So it's a good place.
Exactly. I was like, there are worse things you could.
I can have a coke addiction,
right?
Exactly. But yeah, speaking of like buying things that make you happy. So I'm on book talk a lot on my FYP and then also like small business talk. I don't know what they call it, but like I found this lady who makes these like tea bomb things, like hot cocoa bombs, but it's tea and they look like an actual heart, like an anatomical heart word is for it. Yes. It is so cool. And I was actually on my fucking phone when she opened up her shop for like her little, cause you know, they can't have like them open all the time. They have to do runs of stuff. And I got one and I'm so freaking excited, but I'm like, am I going to even want to drink this? Cause it's like literal art. It is so freaking pretty. I'm gonna see.
Oh my god.
And it's like candy corn colors.
Oh, you got that one? Right?
Yeah, I got that one.
And we are very creative. I have a hard time consuming this. I don't want to see it melt in my tea. Like, this is art.
Right?
I also was like, is it like inside the crystal heart? Like, is all the stuff
right.
like, when I'm done, will I have the heart? But no, it's not. I'm not going to have the heart. And I'll be very sad.
I'm pretty sure it melts. I'll update you guys. I'll let you know what happens when it gets here. I'm so excited because, like I said, always miss it. Yeah, my coworker actually showed me that lady's shop like a month or two ago. And I was like, oh my God. So when I saw it, I messaged her. I was like, her sale's happening right now. So both of us, we both got our hearts.
Awesome. I love that.
But I had to share that.
Yeah, you're right. Like, it's the most like, people are so creative these days.
I know. It's bad. It's bad. I'd rather dump my money on the Judy Blume jeans that I keep on saying time and time and again on that.
There is like, has anyone ordered anything off the TikTok shop yet?
My phone case. Yeah. I did that a while ago. Yeah.
Cause like Tara knows this about me. I like have waves with TikTok. Like I joke, you know, that meme out there is like, I'm a real adult. Like I get my TikToks on, on Instagram 2 weeks later. Like, that's me. We send each other videos, but they're on like different apps. Like I send them to her on Instagram and she sends them to me on TikTok, but like, so I haven't ordered anything, but I have a pair of, those like in my TikTok cart, and we saw them at a store and I almost bought them and I didn't.
Where we went to that giant thrift store, that place?
Yeah, that place, but like at one of those boutiques on that road.
Were we in Dunkin'?
We were in Dunkin', yeah. That's
funny. Oh, okay.
There's like probably about like a half an hour from Tara. This is like really cute little town called Dunkin'. And the downtown has been like basically redone. It was like dying out. And this kind of like consignment store owner was telling us, he's like, basically women came in and started opening up businesses and just revived this downtown. And I was like, oh my God, I love this even more. This little like town in Oklahoma just has this like, you know, woman owned street essentially. And I loved it.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was so, I was like, I have found my Mecca.
I need to open up a spooky shop over there. You should open up a spooky place. Pack it with pink ghosts.
We've already been talking about it. Our lifelong goal is literally to live in the same state and be next door neighbors. And we found this. I don't even know if I sent it to you. I was watching it with my wife. So I saw this video because we always say we want a, like, you know, how fences, like you share a fence with your neighbor. We want to do that.
I sent it to you.
No. The barn thing. The barn. Did you send me that?
I sent you that.
It's like the top. It's so fucking cool, dude. It's like the top of the fence. It folds down and it's just like a bar. I don't know how to explain it like properly, but it was like the coolest fucking thing. And I didn't even say anything. I just showed Shannon and she's like, you and Jess are going to do that, huh? And I was like, yes.
Like my lifelong, like my manifesting this year is that I'm going to win the lottery and then I'm going to buy two houses next to each other. And then I'm going to turn our conjoined backyard into one big backyard.
Aww.
So we'll have like a pool and everything and like, you know.
And my dogs run around.
Yeah.
That's the dream. Yeah.
My cats will just stare out at them, be like, what is that? My cats are not dog cats. They've interacted with smaller dogs and they're like, I don't get the appeal to this. They're like, I don't like this thing. It barks at me, but but yeah.
It happens.
What is one of your like bucket list places you want to go to investigate?
Oh my goodness. Bucket list places. I want to go to other countries like the Middle East.
Yeah.
So I'm half Lebanese, half Honduran, and my dad has inherited property in Lebanon that dates back to the Byzantine period. Like this was a location where the Byzantine war was, and it's kind of like a castle almost, and it's been in the family for generations, and we have a farmhand supposedly that works there, and he's told the family there's like things here, like he stays at the location, he takes care of it, and he's told my dad and our family members like, hey, I woke up one night and there's this man at the foot of my bed who was dressed up in like a cloak and had like a sword, and he like almost shat in his pants. He's like, oh my God, someone broke in, is trying to kill me. When he got up, he noticed the man was no longer there. He's told my dad and family that it sounds like war outside, like horses and fighting. And even my grandmother would tell me, yeah, I would find like, because they had a farm, so when they would break into the earth, they would find arrowheads, they would find rusted swords, they would find what they believe were like horse bones. One time I think they actually found a femur. Like, I mean, it's insane like how much history is around there. It's in my bucket list to go and just see like my family's haunted castle in the country.
I love that.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Because like now, I mean, there's documentation, you know, we have someone that stays there and has been experiencing full body apparitions and hearing things happening late at night that we can't explain. And it makes a lot of sense because there is a lot of death and war that occurred in that area. So that would be one of my biggest places.
I love that. Now I'm like, man.
I can see her like wheels turning. She's like, damn it.
there's a castle in England with my maiden last name, I don't think they would let me come like ghost hunt in their castle.
Hey, you gotta ask, because the worst thing that's gonna happen is they say no.
Yeah, it's true.
You can't do it without asking.
I know. I should probably start with like going to the before, like around the time or a little bit before Jamestown. Like my ancestors came over and had like a little like town, and it's now gone. It's like there's literally like remnants of like a building left, like you know. It's not a lot, but that would be a cool place to go and do kind of an investigation.
I try to work in the film industry there, because I have a lot of friends that have worked in film in England, and they would tell me like whenever they have to do a film in a castle there, they have had weird shit happen to them.
That'd be really good. I love that. Yeah. See, Jessica, get on this. Go find your long lost family member so we can go.
Okay. I'll get on it. Which is interesting because that's the side of my family that also like part of the Salem witch trials as well. I am like an ancestor. I can't ever remember it and I need to look at it, but I have to look at it on this computer because it's the only place my like my ancestry.com password is saved and I made it so long ago I can't remember what my password is. But one of my family members is like an adjacent, like one of the people who basically stood up and said that person is in a witch in like one of the big cases. And so when I was like researching, I was like, oh my God. So that's
so cool.
That's why we're working on some like Salem merch for Halloween. But like, I was just like, this is so cool. It was like almost meant to be that I was going to end up being a paranormal podcaster.
It was fate.
It was fate.
All those years ago.
I'm pretty sure. Time to go to
Salem. I was told that, I was told like after, I think after Christmas, obviously between January and February are like the best times to go. Never set foot in October, never set foot in the summer. I was told, like, I think between January through March or April is like the better times to venture there.
The summer.
Because the tourists, people go there for vacation. Oh, it's a mess. It's a mess.
Oh, but it's I bet. Yeah.
It would have to be like an event. It'd have to be like a paranormal conference or something to get me to go in that time frame.
Okay. Our last question is a random question that we're asking everybody. And it stemmed off of me and Jess just kind of like asking each other when we did like a Q&A thing for Patreon. So if you were going to be dropped off at a deserted island and you could bring anything, except we decided to exclude like bringing like a yacht or a boat. We were like, that's kind of cheating. So we said, not that. Unless it doesn't move. We did allow that. Yes. We're like, if you want to keep it and it's parked there, that's fine. What would you bring?
And there's no limit to what you can bring.
Literally whatever you want.
Oh my goodness. I would try to bring as many suntan lotions as I can. Cause that sun would be brutal, right? If we're on an island. Number two, I would try to bring as many of those like little like devices that get charged up by like the sun and stuff and try to hook up speakers to my electronics to play music. I would need to have music or else I will go insane. And obviously probably my dog. that's all I would need. We'll hunt, we'll fish, and I'll try to make some sort of like, you know, device to filter salt water. But that's pretty much all I would need.
See, that's one of the things I said. I was like, a device to filter salt water, because I feel like that's where you die, is drinking the salt water.
Those charger solar panels to charge like my music device so it could just play music so I won't go insane. And then obviously you gotta protect your skin from the sun. So suntan lotion. Just something that I was always brought up by my mom. She has porcelain like flawless skin. And that is something she's always instilled in me and my sister.
That was like you, Jess. Jess was like, I'm gonna bring a plane full of sunscreen.
I had a bunch of weird things. We had someone say they wanted to bring a cruise ship, but the cruise ship couldn't run. It would just be parked, but it would be like well stocked
with like food and other stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I was like that answers the whole like where are you gonna live part. You just live on the cruise ship. Yeah, we were like, we have to have like the solar panels so we could charge our Kindles.
Yeah, to charge the Kindles, charge the phone, maybe some tools to build a house. Got to keep yourself busy. You got to build something to live in. So
it's true.
Something to keep humanity intact. Yeah. That is something I would definitely need. Just to be away from civilization. So yeah. My husband and I were like, we talked about it too. We're like, we don't want to be here when we retire. We don't want to be in the States. We want to go to Central or South America. He right now in Guatemala and he's like, want to leave. He's like, babe, can we? I'm like, maybe we could retire there. It's so much cheaper. He's like, there's animals everywhere. People take care of their like animals. There's dogs and cats and people like literally feed them on the streets and just go about their day. I'm like, oh. So that will definitely probably be one of our places we'll retire.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I love that. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us. This was great. I loved all the Halloween nostalgia. Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. And then real quick, please, if you have anything you'd like to plug, please do, and let everyone know where they can find you.
Sure. You could find our podcast, Hollywood Paranormal, on the streaming, like the iTunes and podcast streaming apps. I think like another one, where are the other ones? Oh my gosh, like CastBox, or unless they went out of business too. But we're definitely on Spotify, on Amazon Music, and Apple iTunes, and on blueberry.net. And we are also on social media, Facebook and Instagram under at Hollywood Paranormal, and Twitter at HWP Podcast. And you can also follow my adventures and my ghost stories and what I'm doing on TikTok. We're under Haunted LA Girl or Hollywood Paranormal. And you can watch the most recent episode of season 26 of Ghost Adventures, The Village of Lost Souls. I'm on there along with my friends and other spooky coworkers too. And that's pretty much it.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Toodles, guys.
Bye.